shall turn again to the part of God's word that we read together in Lamentations chapter 3. And we will read verse 25. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 25. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. Perhaps especially the first part of the verse, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him. Jeremiah was the man who had seen affliction, as he says in the first part of this chapter. But in his affliction, he waits upon God. And he says that the Lord is his portion, and he will therefore hope in God, verse 24. And so he knows from experience the meaning of this text before us, that the Lord is good unto them that wait for him. And so, friends, if we wait upon the Lord, we also will experience the goodness of the Lord to us. So we will consider with the Lord's help two things. First, them that wait for the Lord. What is this waiting for the Lord? And secondly, the goodness of the Lord. What is the goodness of the Lord to those who wait for him? The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. So first, them that wait for the Lord. Waiting for the Lord is not like the waiting that we often experience when we use that word. I'm waiting for something, waiting in a queue, or waiting in a waiting room. This is a different kind of waiting. It's not like the waiting in a waiting room for a procedure to take place, and as the time is dragging on, and you're just waiting for the time to go by quickly so that the procedure will be over and you'll be informed that it's over and you can see your loved one again. Sitting out a long wait. No, that's not the kind of waiting here. Those who wait on the Lord, those who wait for the Lord are looking to him as servants look to their masters. They are ready to obey the master. They are waiting for the master to call their name, and they're waiting and ready to do what their master says. So the word wait actually means to wait or look with eager expectation. It's not a dreaded kind of wait where you have nothing to do but wait, but it's looking for something that you earnestly desire. And if we could use the waiting room analogy again, it would be more like you're waiting to see the doctor and the appointment time has already passed and you know that any moment, your name will be called. And so, you're constantly expecting that to happen. Your ears are open. Your eyes are open. You know any second that the doctor himself may come into the room and call you. And so, we need to ask, do we know what this is like spiritually? When we, as it were, come to the waiting room of prayer, when we go to our closets, we get on our knees, are we experiencing the first idea, just waiting till the time is up, as if it was some kind of task to perform and we move on, as if it's something inevitable, we just have to do it, and as long as we filled up that time, we've done our duty and we go on? Or are we like the second view where we're waiting to see the doctor? We have a special need. And we're waiting upon the Lord that he himself would come. He would call us to himself. We would experience his grace. So that's the idea of waiting that we need to experience in order to have this promise and declaration applied to us. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him. And it involves the soul. It involves the soul looking for God to come with his grace. And that's what the second part of the verse is opening up, as it were. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. So this is the soul that is seeking God, the person himself, not just the body, not just the motions. It's not a formal kind of waiting upon God. It's the soul that is looking to God, the soul that seeketh him. And the word means to seek with care. It's not a casual kind of search. Maybe we'll stumble across the thing we're looking for. If not, it's no great matter. We can move on. No, this is an earnest search. It is seeking with care. It includes the idea of resorting to something, as if there's nowhere else to go but to the one we're seeking. And so it is, believers seek the Lord. They resort to God, as David in Psalm 71, verse 3, who prays to God, "Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort." Continually resort. He looks to God as his rock and his fortress. He knows that he is safe only in the Lord. Because often believers find that nothing else will avail. As we considered on Sabbath morning, when their power is gone, their strength is evaporated, their own resources have failed them, and they have one place to go, and that is to the Lord alone. Well, what a wonderful description we have of the Lord's people. They are those who seek the Lord. They are those who wait for him. The Lord is good to them that wait for him. Perhaps you do not know whether you are one of the Lord's people, but does any of what we have described describe you? Do you seek the Lord with care? Can you say that you seek the Lord with your whole heart's desire? And are you ready to comply with the instructions of the Lord as a servant is looking out for the master to give him an order? And the servant is ready to, as it were, drop what he's doing and do what the master says. Are you ready to hear your name being called, even as Martha came to Mary and said, "The master is come and calleth for thee"? And will you rise up and go to the master? Do you eagerly wait for him, looking to him with eager expectation? Well, if you do, there is good news for you. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. And that's what we consider in the second place, the goodness of the Lord. And think of who it is that we are waiting for if we are waiting upon the Lord. It is the Lord, Jehovah, the one who is the self-existent, unchangeable, eternal God. He has no changes. He is eternally the same. The one who was and is to come. The great I am. With him are inexhaustible resources. He has all power in himself, the power of being in himself. And therefore he has power to give being to his promises. His promises are not meaningless. Those who are going on in unbelief, they're the ones who ascribe meaninglessness to the promises, but God himself gives being and fulfillment to his promises. so that he will fulfill all that he has declared, all that he has spoken in his word, he will perform, because he is Jehovah, the great I Am. I am that I am. Thus shall ye say to the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. That was the word of God to Moses for the children of Israel. And because he is the Lord, because he is Jehovah, he does not change. And because he does not change, what else do we learn of him, or learn about his procedure towards his people? It is this, that his people are not consumed. You might say, what kind of comfort is that? Well, if we only realize that we deserve to be consumed, we deserve to perish. To those who are not convinced of their sin, to those who are never troubled about their sins, forgiveness is not a great matter to them. To be preserved and be on the ground of mercy doesn't mean much to them. They're not convicted of their sin. They're not troubled about their sin. Sin is not a great matter to them. Why should not God have mercy on us? To even think that God would consume us, oh, is that not ascribing cruelty to God? That's the language of unbelief and hardness of heart. For those who feel their sin to be a burden, they think it is a wonder that God should have mercy on them and that they would not be consumed. Well, Jeremiah knew this, as well as Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, for I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Because the Lord does not change, his people are not consumed. If God changed, he might be merciful one moment and strictly just the next moment. And those that he had mercy on one moment, the next moment he would consume them in hell. No. It is of the Lord's mercies. The Lord's mercies. It is Jehovah's mercies that we are not consumed. Verse 22 of our chapter. Because his compassions fail not. So, when the Lord has mercy upon a person in a saving way, he doesn't change from that. When he forgives, that forgiveness is permanent. When he sanctifies a person, he continues it. He doesn't take back his gifts. As Paul says in Romans chapter 11, verse 29, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. He doesn't turn from it. He doesn't change from his purpose of salvation. So those whom he saves permanently and forever. And who are those who are saved? Well, our text tells us, the Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. God is good to them. Oh, Lord, that's what the psalmist says. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. God is good to those who wait for him, and he is good to them in the way of salvation. For those who wait for God, those who seek the Lord, well, Amos tells us the words of God, for thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek ye me, and ye shall live. So those who seek the Lord, they experience life and salvation by Jesus Christ. What did we sing in Psalm 69 and verse 32? In the prose version, we read, your heart shall live that seek God. You seek the Lord. Your heart shall live. And perhaps it tells us not only you'll be saved from everlasting ruin, but your heart shall live. You will experience God's love and grace, life in your soul. You will know that you're saved. Your heart will burn within you as the Lord conveys his grace to you. When he pardons your sin and you experience his salvation, your heart shall live that seek God. You who seek God, your heart shall live. He will show you his goodness. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him. He will show you his goodness in pardoning your sin. He will show you his goodness in lifting you from the fearful pit and the miry clay and setting your feet on a rock. He will show you your goodness in delivering you from your lost condition, from that state of sin and misery, so that you will experience the goodness of God in salvation and be saved with an everlasting salvation. Isaiah 45, verse 17, "But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Ye shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end, an everlasting salvation. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him." Those who wait upon the Lord, those who wait for him, those who wait eagerly or wait with eager expectation, expecting him to come, looking for him to come, he will come to them. He will come to them. He will manifest his presence to them. As we heard in the prayer, the Lord is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, and we need to believe that. Not give in to the feelings of unbelief. I'm seeking for nothing. That's what unbelief says. I'm seeking in vain. God says you will not seek in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. Yes, the Lord calls us to seek him, and he assures us we will not seek in vain. The Lord is good. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. He reveals himself to them that seek him, to those that wait for him. That's how he shows his goodness to them, by lifting up the light of his countenance upon them, shining upon them with his face. He shows his goodness to them, even as the Lord said to the woman of Samaria, when she said, "I know that Messiah cometh, and when he is come, he will tell us all things." Jesus said, "I that speak unto thee am he." He revealed himself to her, and he reveals himself to those who seek him, because they that seek shall find. And what is finding but the Lord permitting himself to be found, the Lord revealing himself to those who seek him. So the Lord is good to them that wait for him. He is good to those who wait for him in that he reveals himself to them and he gives views of himself to them. And especially I'm thinking about views of Christ. When they get a view of God manifesting his love to sinners of mankind in sending his son Jesus to die for them, and to get a view of that is a wonderful thing. To get some appreciation of the gospel, to see something of the glory of it. Friends, this is the gospel of God's glory. The gospel, the good news of salvation that manifests the glory of God. And when you see something of the glory in the gospel, you're seeing a wonderful thing. That's the goodness of God to you, to give you a view of the gloriousness of the good news of salvation, to see what a wonderful thing it is that in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. So those who deserve to perish, those who deserve to be consumed, might live. Seek ye me and ye shall live. And how will you live when you deserve to die and perish in your sins? You will live because God sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God sent his Son into the world to die on the cross, to suffer his wrath, that we might live through him. We might live. Oh, who among you is desiring this life? Who among you is desiring to live? Oh, what a wonderful thing. If there was a soul here that was like Christian in Pilgrim's Progress, closing his ears to the world and saying, "Life, life, eternal life. To look beyond and above this life, to look to the eternal life, to God in Christ who gives us life eternal, life everlasting, to be saved with an everlasting salvation, world without end. Seek ye me, and ye shall live, and you will experience the goodness of God to you in the land of the living, to be rich and among the living in Jerusalem, to be among those who have life in their souls and everlasting life, heirs of everlasting salvation. What a wonderful thing that is. Seek ye me, and ye shall live. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, because he causes them to experience his salvation, his presence, views of himself, views of the glory of the Lord in the salvation of sinners. The Lord is good to them that wait for him, because, as we read in Isaiah chapter 33, verse 17, thine eyes shall see the King in his beauty. Are you longing to get a view of the Lord Jesus Christ? You seek the Lord, thine eyes shall see the King in his beauty. Thou shalt behold, they shall behold the land that is very far off, the land of distances, the land far and wide, the land that extends from here to very far away. What a great, wonderful land it is, the land of Emmanuel, Emmanuel's land, where Christ is King and his people are in peace. Well, those who wait upon the Lord, they will experience his goodness, and they will experience his goodness in the way of comfort. His goodness will be manifest in comforting their hearts, because the Lord is the God of all comfort. As Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. How many times is the word comfort mentioned here? Four or five times? The Lord is good by giving comfort to the souls that wait upon him and seek him. Are we seeking the Lord? Are we like Jeremiah, a man of affliction, a man who has seen affliction? Well, even though Jeremiah was afflicted, even though everything looked bleak on the outside, Jerusalem was destroyed, his own people were carried off, yet he still holds to this truth. The Lord is good to them that wait for him. He knows that the Lord does not change. The Lord is his portion. He experiences the goodness of the Lord even now. He knows the Lord is ready to comfort him. Even as the Lord hath appeared of old to him, he says in Jeremiah 31:3, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And everlasting love means he loves us even now. When we're going through trials, afflictions, griefs, when we're passing through terrible distractions, God is comforting his people, or ready to comfort them. He is good to those that wait upon him, and we're to wait upon him for that comfort, because he's the God of all comfort. He is true to his word. He will fulfill his promise. He will make good his declarations concerning himself. If he says he's the God of all comfort, and we haven't experienced that comfort yet, we're to take him at his word. He is the God of all comfort. He is true to his word, true to his declarations. Let us not then give over or give up waiting upon the Lord. Do not give up looking to him. Do not think, child of God, that comfort is long gone, never to be expected again. Don't go by your feelings. Go by the unchanging word of God. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him. He is good in the way of giving comfort, and he will fulfill his promises to those that wait for him. And don't believe the devil's lies. Satan blasphemes in the ears of God's people. He blasphemes in the ears of other sinners as well. How does he blaspheme? When he misrepresents God, when he says things about God that are not true, that is the essence of blasphemy. Saying things about God that are not true, slandering God, misrepresenting God, blaspheming God. When Satan tells you God doesn't care about you, when Satan says the Lord is not good, he contradicts the word of God. The word of God says that the Lord is good unto them that wait for him. Satan says, no, God is not good. And you may seek and seek all you want, Satan says, but God will not be good to you. The enemies will say, God leaves him. Now's our opportunity to pounce upon him. Ah, we would have it thus. But no, David looks beyond. Jeremiah looks beyond what the enemies say. So should you, and seek the Lord. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him. He is ready to comfort those who wait for him. He will manifest himself to those who wait for him. He's the God of all comfort, and the God of grace, and the God of hope. Because he gives hope. He is the object of hope. What hope would believers have without the fact that God is the God of hope, that he fulfills his promises? Those that wait for him, he is good to them. He's good to them. Let those words ring in your ears tonight. He is good to them. Even when everything that is dear to us is taken away from us, God is still good to us. How is that? Because he's still our God. He still comforts us in our souls. He still keeps us safe from spiritual dangers. So others can take away our house, they can take away our outward comforts, take away our food and our money, but there's something they can't take away. They cannot take away our God. God is still our preserver, provider, protector, sustainer, comforter, the one who loved us, sending his son to die for us. And nothing can separate us from his love. He has loved us with an everlasting love. He is Jehovah. He changes not. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him. And one more thing that God will do for those that wait for him. He will strengthen them. The Lord is good in that he gives strength. David knew that. David, even though he was a man after God's own heart, knew what it was to be surrounded by troubles and foes. But he cried to God for help. He didn't stop crying to God for help. In Psalm 27 and verse 12, he says to the Lord, deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. It's the enemy who is cruel. Satan is cruel. God is not. False witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. But David was waiting upon God. He waited upon God as servants wait upon their masters. Even as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that he have mercy upon us. Is that your posture? Can you say that your eyes are like Jehoshaphat saying, our eyes are upon thee? Well, David, going back to David, he knew that if he did not rely on God and his faithfulness, he would have perished. He would have been doomed. As Psalm 27 verse 13 says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He didn't faint because he believed. He didn't faint because he expected the goodness of God in the land of the living. He believed God's word. He trusted God's promise. He waited to experience the goodness of God in the land of the living, so he didn't faint. He didn't give up. He didn't despair. And now he can tell everyone else, it will be so with you as well. So verse 14, he concludes, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Strengthen thine heart. You feel your heart fainting and failing, but God doesn't fail you. He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. He goes back to that. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Why? Because the Lord is good unto them that wait for him. Perhaps you know that you need to press on spiritually, but you're lacking the motivation. You feel limp, ready to halt. You don't know what to do. Yes, you do. Wait upon the Lord. Look up to him. Wait upon him, not by sitting back, relaxing, doing nothing. Look to him as servants keep their eyes on their master, or where the door of the master is, looking for the doctor to open the door and come in to that waiting room, because you know any second the doctor is coming. Wait for him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him. He will give you the strength. He will give you the motivation. He will fill you with his grace and his love. He will strengthen your heart. And that goes for everyone. Those who seek the Lord, your heart shall live that seek God. Are you seeking him? Perhaps you're still unassured. You don't know where you are, but do you desire to find him? Do you desire to have Christ? Are you diligently using the means of grace and desiring above all things to have Christ for your soul? Well, remember, if you are willing to have Christ, he is willing to have you. Are you saying, nothing would give me more joy than to know that Christ is my Savior, that he is my Savior, my portion? Well, it sounds like you are a seeking soul. And the Word of God tells you the Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. Have you not begun to truly seek the Lord? Just attending means of grace is not seeking the Lord. It's seeking with care. It's seeking with eager expectation. That is to wait for the Lord. Well, the Lord is calling you to seek him now. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near, because he won't always be near. He will not always be found. The hour is coming when people will knock at the door, when the door is shut and it will remain shut, and he will look through and he will say, I never knew you. Depart from me. Friend, now is the time to seek the Lord. In the land of the living, here on mercy's ground, not after death, but now in time. Now is when the door will open to you. Now is when the Lord Jesus is saying to you, if any man enter in through me the door, he shall be saved. So if you wait upon him and you go to him seeking the Lord, going to the Lord, the door will be open. Come in. And they shall not be ashamed that wait for him. That's what the Word of God tells you. He will reveal himself to you. And you are blessed if you wait for him. Not only is the Lord good to those that wait for him, but we are told in Isaiah chapter 30, blessed are all they that wait for him. Look then to him, Oh, pray that the Lord would stir you up with eager expectation to look to him. And if you look to him, you'll not be ashamed. You will not be disappointed. The Lord is waiting to be gracious, and you are blessed if you wait for him. For the Lord is good. Remember that. The Lord is good. The Lord is good to them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. Well, may the Lord bless his word. Let us pray.